David Hawking, talk to us about the fiscal cliff. I always imagine this cliff, you know, it's like a New Yorker cartoon with all the lemmings running over it. You know,
aren't you tired of the metaphor yet, Alan?
The cliff?
Yeah, the cliff.
Nah, you know, I think sometimes you need to... I asked some students the other day about who do the Marquis de Lafayette, whose picture is on, as you come into the Capitol building, and none of them knew. So sometimes I think in America, where we are generally as a population getting stupidified, that,
right.
you have to put a sort of colloquial face on things. And the cliff will do just fine as far as I'm concerned.
The cliff is it's as good a metaphor as any. some people are trying to talk about it as not quite a cliff, but more like a double black diamond slope that you can still steer off of once you've gone down it a little bit. If you know how to ski and you start down it, you realize you're making a terrible mistake, you can ski off to the side. I actually think that's a tiny bit of a better metaphor, but it's a minor point, which is to say that...
Well, you went to a private college, didn't you?
I did, but...
Well,
not,
of course,
but,
that's
not,
why.
But you can ski.
Yeah, okay.
which is to say that, they can it's not as though on January 1st they go over the cliff and there's no way to break the fall.
Right.
There is a way to break the fall. There is, so on the first of the new year, the so-called Bush tax cuts expire for everybody, but that's actually only on paper for about the first 2 weeks because nobody would feel that in their paycheck, probably until very few people would feel it
that's
in their
bad.
Paycheck.
That's bad. That's very bad.
Until the middle of the month.
That's very bad because if you give these guys, you know, an extra 24 hours, they'll take the extra 24
they'll
hours.
They'll take 25, right.
Yeah, they'll take 25 hours. But the Republicans are in worse shape than the president. After all, the president won. He won on yelling about the $250,000 cutoff for taxpayers. Where do you expect this to end up?
I expect it to end up probably the weekend before Christmas, probably the weekend right. of the winter solstice.
Yeah, yeah.
Shortest day of the year.
Yep.
Is when Congress will come up with some sort of two-step process. Congress and the president, Boehner and Obama, will come up with a plan that averts the cliff in two parts. There will be an immediate short-term down payment that will involve both some spending cuts and some new revenues that will then buy time for Congress and the president to negotiate on the really quite profoundly complicated matters at hand here, which are an overhaul of the entire tax code and a rewriting of the major health care entitlements, Medicare and Medicaid. And I think they won't fall off the cliff. They'll put the brakes on in time by the weekend before Christmas, and they will do it in a way that gets a majority of all four congressional caucuses, House and Senate Republicans, House and Senate Democrats, and the markets will relax. The bond traders and the bond rating firms will be able to go home for the holidays relaxed a little bit. Because I think that I ultimately think that both sides will conclude that if they can't show that they can govern now, they will have lost the American public for the next 2 years, and it's equally bad for both of them.
That said, equally bad for both of them. The polling I'm reading says that more people are holding the Republicans responsible for the gridlock than the Democrats. Doesn't that have any effect in negotiation?
Yeah, it already has shown that the Republicans have moved pretty far since the election away from their no new taxes of any kind rhetoric that led up to the election. I think at this point, it seems as though the Republicans are signaling a willingness to raise revenue in every other way except marginal income tax rates for individuals. They seem to be wide open not only to closing a bunch of loopholes and deductions, but to also raising taxes on unearned income, capital gains, and investments, the very kind of income that made Mitt Romney so rich. And they're kind of wide open. They realize they've lost this debate. A new poll out from ABC and the Washington Post shows that three-fifths of Americans think that taxes should go up on people making more than $250,000. That's unchanged from Election Day, so it's a solid 3-2 margin, which in polling is significant. So, yeah, the Republicans are under more pressure, but not so much more pressure that the Democrats won't have to give on something. And the fact that the very liberal Democrats are now making noise about how they should feel under no obligation to do anything about the so-called entitlement programs, the social safety net programs like Medicare and Medicaid, they're incorrect politically, I think. They're going to have to give in.
Talk to me a little bit about what might happen there. You know, I'm 71 now, so I'm an old guy. But one of the questions that a lot of people have is, because Americans are living longer, will they raise the time for Social Security, for example, and save some money that way? Or is it really hands-off on Social Security?
I think it's probably hands-off on Social Security, but I think they will raise the eligibility age for Medicare.
Okay, so it won't be 65 anymore. It might be 67.
I don't think it's going to be 65 anymore. It'll probably be inched up, you know, a month a year for several years. I mean, they won't do it all in one fell swoop. I think it is worth noting, I've always wondered, maybe this is too complicated a concept to sell the American people, but when these programs were created, definitely when Social Security was created and the eligibility age was 65,
right,
the average life expectancy for an American was 63 and a half.
Right.
Right?
So nobody got there.
The eligibility age was after the life expectancy age.
After you were dead, right.
Yeah, so now it's whatever it is, 12 or 13 years before you're supposed to die.
Right,
so
right.
Huge shift, and I can't believe there's not the political will to nudge it up a bit.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Susan Rice, there's a new theory out that Scott Brown might want to, if John Kerry gets the Secretary of State's job and Susan Rice doesn't get it, then the present senator runs for the other seat and wins. Is there anything to that?
I think that's certainly the scuttlebutt that you hear. That's exactly right. I mean, this Susan Rice imbroglio is one of the most mystifying things that's happened on Capitol Hill that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, why are they doing it? They just seem to be a little crazy.
Why are they doing it? It seems as though they are picking on her persistently and increasingly for ultimately doing nothing more than doing her duty as a senior administration official and going on the Sunday talk shows and saying what the CIA told her to say about this attack in Benghazi, which turned out to be wrong for sure, but there is so far no evidence that there is some huge cover-up that she was a part of. Why are they doing this to a woman, an African-American, a favorite of the president's, at precisely the time when, you know, Obama won re-election and women voted overwhelmingly for him, and, of course, so did people of color. And so are the Republicans ridiculously politically stupid to pick this fight now? And the answer, the countervailing answer as to why they're doing it has to do with a couple of things. One, there is some sense that Susan Rice is temperamentally, you know, not the ideal choice to be Secretary of State. But two, that it's a Machiavellian ploy to make sure that their friend, their inside buddy John Kerry, does go to the State Department. That does open up the Massachusetts Senate seat. The notion is that the Democrats won't be able to align behind one candidate, while the Republicans will quickly unify behind Scott Brown, and that he has a good chance of coming back. I've seen a little bit of polling on this both ways, some of which suggests that Scott Brown is now going to be remembered as kind of a fluke and that he couldn't win. If the election between Scott Brown and any of the mainstream Democrats was held sometime soon, probably one of them would win.
I predict he won't win when he comes back, if that's the way it goes.
Will you agree with me that
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ed Markey would. There are three House members, Ed Markey, Mike Capuano, and Steve Lynch, all of whom I would think would make pretty compelling statewide candidates in a special election.
You bet. And once a loser, always a loser. David Hawkins, thank you so much. David Hawkins is editor of the Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call Daily Briefing. The Roll Call, of course, and the Congressional Quarterly are the Bibles of those of us who watch Congress. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995.